Welcome to Ask My Mice.
Love you and I, cause I love you so much. Oh, 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 I just love you. I just like help, help. I just like help. I just like you too. I just like you. I just love you. Happy New Year, I love you, say goodbye. You're going to school, and that's okay. Yum, 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 I just love you.
Welcome to Optimize My Life, and I'm having talking issues today. It's been one of those days. It's early. We are sponsored by the Hope Collection, a non-for-profit organization that has avenues and faith and wellness, food, energy, housing, and basically they have a pillar and a place for you to get help, whose motto is helping others to help them to help others, which is a twist on pay it forward. So we give you the tools to help you to pay it forward to someone else. And it is going to be a long day today. Hi, Derek. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, it's one of them mornings, huh?
One of those morning realities are starting to bother me.
Yeah, brain and mouth are not coordinating what's coming out today.
What?
My brain stopped working, so the words aren't coming out of my mouth like they're supposed to be.
Well, I know.
Thanks. So, I know we talked a little bit all week. We've talked about, you know, IEPs and special needs and how to be the best advocate for your child. And we talked today was going to originally be all about a wrap-up of all that. But we had a little situation yesterday. At our house. And so because of this, I decided to change the topic of the show. And today we're going to talk about stop the bullying and how stop the bullying starts at home and what you say as a parent, as a role model, as a neighbor affects the kids and what they say, how they interact and what they do. And so I'll talk about a little bit about the incident that we dealt with. So my daughter, we all know, is special. She's not overweight by any means. A little chunky, but this is Minnesota where we live. So most of the time, everybody gets a little chunky over the winter because you can't go out and play. You don't do a lot of exercise, especially kids, to burn all that off. But she is healthy and she is happy. And she's an average age for size for her age. So one of our neighbors, we don't get along, and her kid decided to sit there and tell her that she is fat and she's always going to be fat and she's going to be huge by the time she gets an adult. And so at first I didn't think anything was wrong because they were getting over a cold. So she wasn't eating a lot. Well, as she got over being sick, she really stopped eating. And then I made chicken, and she refused to eat that. And she said she could only eat vegetables. She could only eat healthy foods and she kept talking about being fat. Like, you're not fat. And then we finally got her, she finally just broke down crying. And we got her to finally open up and talk about what was going on and why she didn't want to eat. And that's because a kid, well, the neighbor kid sat and made fun of her and told her how fat she was. So I'll give a little synopsis of my 8-year-old. So Ariana is one of these girls that believes everybody in the world is a good person, that bad people only need enough love to turn good. Teaching her stranger danger was very, very hard because she, one, I live in a very small town, but two, she doesn't understand that concept. She will do anything and everything for anybody else. And having that one kid sit and make fun of her continuously destroyed her. Now, this little girl didn't have friends for a long time. She gets her education online, so she doesn't know a lot of the kids in the neighborhood, and there aren't a lot of kids in the neighborhood. And so she finally met a couple friends that are willing to play with her and accept her for her. And now she's to the point where she wants to stay in the house because she's got to go by this kid's house and he makes fun of her. This kid went so far as to tell all the other kids that he's not allowed to play with them if they play with her, because my mommy don't like her mommy. This kid's 10. So A, he's should know better, right from wrong. And two, this is cruel. And this is a perfect example of what you say, what you do, how you interact at home around your kids will turn around and teach your kids how to interact in public. And all because she's different. All because...
So Mary, I mean,
go ahead.
I just, you know, you and I had just a real quickie on that one. And I was the first to jump up and say, one cannot do what one has not been taught. Somebody shows you how to walk. Somebody shows you how to talk. If you come up with evil stuff, you probably heard somebody else say it, too. Even on our radio show every day, our president, I'm picking on Ron Clayton. Ron Clayton says, well, we got to get her done, get her done, get her done. And after hearing him say that for about a week or two, every time I run up to people and we're talking about completing projects, I would go, we're going to get her done. We got to get her done. So when Mary, when you shared just a portion of your story to me, and I said, wait, Mary, I interrupted you. I said, where did she get that from? She said she heard it from a little boy. No. Where did he get that from? Where does his parents live? She says, oh, they're right up the street. They don't like me. Oh, you mean the kids said it, but I guarantee you his parent was the one that planted that bomb in his mouth. Was I right, Mary?
Yep. And see, I'm one of those old school parents where my kids literally, I pray for winter in Minnesota. Because that is the only time we're in the house. It's the only time my house stays clean. By that, I can actually physically clean my house. Because all summer long, all weather gets nice, snow is gone, my kids are outside all day long. It drives me nuts. Because I never get to do what I need to do in the house. Because with my son being special, he cannot be left alone outside for extended periods of time because he wanders sometimes, and I'm not willing to take that chance because I live on a main road, which is you either take the freeway behind me or you take my road to go in between two cities. We're the gateway road. So we get a lot of traffic. and he doesn't have the sense yet, a ball goes in the road, he'll go get it. We're working on it, but it's a slow process. But, you know, my kids... So by no means do I have a lot of money. I am not rich by any means. We struggle to pay bills. We struggle for, you know, everything, but I make it work. My kids need something. I save up and figure out a way to get it. But because of living here and not having options to do things, we do a lot of things at our house. We have a big swimming pool in our backyard that the kids live in all summer long, stuff like that. Well, because Ariana doesn't fully understand the world around her, we're very protective of her, and she's getting better. But she can go down the road. So 2 years ago, they were shut down our road in front of our house and did construction. And I'm one of them people that I go and talk and find out what's going on because I have to deal with everything going on around and adjust the radio shows and do things that I need to do to fit, you know. And we were having services, so I wanted to find out when they could come in and out of our driveway. Well, they decided, because my kids are always outside, that they were going to leave a hole in front of our curb of our house. So what did my kids do? They went and got a rowboat. Those blow-up rafts for the lake, we hit in the pool to teach them how to row and how to be in a boat safety before we took them on the lake. Well, they took and ran and grabbed that, and we had a huge rainstorm. So they're out there rowing down the road. You'd think it was flooded here. But there was no traffic other than construction, and construction was watching. Well, she decided to make the comment loud enough for me to hear that I was an irresponsible parent because my kids are playing in a shut-down road that's all full of gravel and water. As I'm saying, they're watching them. I was not nice about that one. And then when they were redoing the road, they decided to take a big mountain of dirt and put it in front of my driveway. And they stood and watched the kids play in the dirt. She didn't like that one. Well, Ariana was walking up and down the road. She found a hammer laying alongside the road. She walked back and forth, up and down, and asked every construction worker out there, did they lose their hammer? She waited until afterwards and came back again and re-asked everybody until she found the owner of the hammer. Even after they told her she could keep it because they didn't know where it belonged to, she goes, no, it's got to go back to its home. So when you got kids making fun of a little girl like that who is willing to do anything to do the right thing, it really tweaked me off.
So, and we have to, here comes me being bullied. Big head, I go run to my grandma. The grandmama, they call me out of my name. She said, well, what did they call you, baby? They called me big head. She said, well, did you answer? She says, what's your name, baby? I said, Brad. She said, well, if they didn't call you by your name, they wasn't talking to you. We're talking in the 1970s, y'all. We're old school. Things change. They threw a ball at me. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words hurt worse. That's not what they told us. They told us words didn't hurt. Words do hurt. What happens in the process? Hey, shawty! That's a word they use out here in the South when they're trying to disrespect the pretty little young girls as they walk by. They yell out their name into the airwaves, not knowing their name, but everybody is shouting, which means that you're fine if you interpret that. But no, it's not. So, Mary, let's go back one more time. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Words are powerful. What are you saying to you about you And what are you saying about other people? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Ooh, that's a positive affirmation. Oh, I can't do that. Ooh, be careful now. Swing down, sweet low. Coming to carry you home. I can't do that. You're burying yourself with your words. You have to be careful what you say. Grandma, they call me out of my name. Well, baby, what did they say? They call you big head. Well, baby, it takes a big head to store a lot of brains. They wasn't making fun of you, baby. They was complimenting you, telling you that your brain is bigger than theirs. Now, what did my grandmama do? You can put good words into a bad person's mouth, and they still come out bad. You can put bad words into a good person's mouth, and they come out good. So now, are you watching? Can't really see words. Are you watching? Wow, you can't see words. Did you hear what you said to your child? You're going to grow up to be just like your daddy. Whoa, slow your horses. Is that a good thing? Or is your ex in jail? So now you just told your child that he's going to grow up? Oh, his father's in the military. That's a different story. That's a proud note. He's wearing camouflage. He must be in military services. Oh, he's got on an orange jumpsuit in the photograph. He must be in the local prison. So I just want us to be aware as we approach into this new, wonderful, best year that we've ever had into our life, that you can speak yourself into a grave. What do you mean by that, country boy? What's the difference between playing in the garden and playing in the grave? What you put in it? What are you putting into your child's head? Not what are you putting, what's coming out of your mouth? We have to be real careful. And maybe one more thing. We was talking about the kids and trying to retrain them. We're having to retrain some adult people too, because we don't watch the words that we say to people. Why? I don't know why we just throw words out and why you would tell your kid, stay away from that kid. Unless he was country boy doing all kinds of foul stuff. But all of us have been labeled some kind of way. Mary, last round. Speedy, come here. Who is Speedy? Speedy Stanley. I don't know Speedy Stanley. Oh, that's her mom. So you've probably been running circles around her, Mary. Just like you did some of the men in the military. They either like you or don't like you, but don't be hating. Because this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And Ariana, the little princess, we called her, who came right on our show with her light shining so bright that within a matter of 2 weeks of showing up, she had a commercial playing on international radio to 80 or 90-something different countries. And she had to be hurt by what a parent said that lives right down the block. I would sing one of them old songs, Ain't That a Shame? No, it's a shame, but we're going to turn that shame back into something positive. Watch us work with this. Go ahead, Mary.
Yeah. Well, part of the reason why she don't like me is, one, she's divorced. And so I'm still married with two special kids. But I'm the cool mom on the block.
That was cold-blooded, Mary. I just want you to know that was cold-blooded right there. That was below the belt hit, you know. And that's
no,
okay.
No. It wasn't meant like that. Okay, so this lady is very controlling. I mean, her husband had to do everything her way and only her way. Her kids could not be outside and play. And these are 10 and 12-year-old kids. We live in the middle of nowhere. They're not little. And so we listened to a lot of fighting because the kids would be outside. Unsupervised. Okay, we are not in a big city. We are hours from a big city.
Girl, Gabe be outside unsupervised, and we in the city. Because I got to give him himself an independency. But go ahead.
Exactly. Well, she had a big fit about when we did the road construction because it wasn't safe for her kids to walk a block to the bus stop. And they're not little kids. She is one of these.
Girl, all I said was okay.
And then she got mad because he filed a complaint because she works at the school for the deaf. And so she was bringing these guys home to help her do her yard work, help her clean, shovel her driveway off, things like that. She was manipulating who she was. She's a very controlling person. Well, my kids do whatever they want in the yard. I don't care. They dig a hole, they dig a hole.
Gee, I thank you for being back, sweetie.
Oh, sorry about that.
No,
that's
no,
okay.
It's good. I understand where you're coming from.
No,
yeah,
we want
no,
you,
it's not.
We want you on. We don't care if we have to tolerate the noise because it's not noise. It's the sound of a mama multitasking and working while she's doing an international talk radio show. Girl, keep doing what you're doing. Go, Mary.
It is.
But because I don't work from out of my house. Originally, I was just a stay-at-home mom until I built my business and did all this. I have, people call it a luxury. I call it kind of tied down because I would love to have an office and a building to go to work to. Deal with people
for sure.
That aren't on a phone or on a screen every day to actually interact. But because of where we live, I don't have that option because there's nowhere for my kids to go besides with me to the office. But because of my military service and what I did when I was in the military, a lot of the females around here don't like me because a lot of the kids want to hear stories. Some I share, some I don't.
Okay, so what you have broken down to me and from what I can understand over here is that Mary is doing things unorthodox because that's the way the good Lord blessed your life. And it sounds like you got a few haters.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, they've made some decisions. They have placed them where they are at in their life. But, you know, from the book of T.I., verse 7, chapter 2, he says, you ain't got no haters if you ain't possing. So what you telling me, Mary, is you possing. That means.
Exactly. My problem is you... If you don't like me, deal with me. You ain't going to like to deal with me, but deal with me. Do not take it out on kids.
That's why Georgette said that was way below the belt because she couldn't step to you like a woman. She had to go after your child.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I wasn't saying more so what you said, but how she came to it. Because one thing, so this point is where I want to take into how children become bullies. She was bullying you, Mary.
Yep.
Children are a creature of habit, and they're a creature of, I see you do it, so I'm going to do what I saw you do, which is why parents always teach the good gospel of do as I say, not as I do. But she came and attacked your character and your parenting. That was indeed below the belt.
Whoa, that's deep. Say it again, Georgia. Yeah. Wait.
Yes.
That's deep. That was deep for me. That came out too fast, too smooth to let it jump over everybody else's head. You have to repeat
for sure.
That, Georgia, the best you can.
I said because she came to Mary in the sense of her children, it defamated her character. Just because she's a free thinker and she is rearing these free thinkers, you felt the need to come and attack that entity of her because of your, and guess what? It all falls back to self-awareness, self-talk, insecurities. That had nothing to do with you, Mary. That was all on her.
Oh, yeah.
If you look up the word jealousy, the first thing that says is insecure, uncertain. Jealous means you have traits that they wish that they have. Translated in modern-day times, we call them haters. But we let our haters become our motivators nowadays. It didn't stop you. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
That's why, Mary, you ain't got no haters if you ain't popping. You popping. You got to have haters.
Oh, yeah.
Cliff note, if you ain't created no haters by now, the devil loves you. Code secret. If you want the devil, whoever he is, I hardly ever mention that little bastard. If you want the devil to leave you alone, do some devilish stuff. Treat people unkind. Start rumors. Stab people in the back, and he'll love you. Like Country Boy is one of my favorites. But when you start to do something that's good, I don't care if you live on a dead-end street, Mary. When you start to do something good, something evil will come along and try to barricade your street, girl. Run her right over and keep right going.
For sure.
Now, this little girl is so sweet until you mess with her brother. You mess with her little brother, she'll knock you in the next week. So we were going through last week.
I have a sister just like that, Mary.
Do ya?
Well,
I wonder where she gets it from,
sister,
Mary.
My older sister protected me even when I was in high school. But on the way to school, I used to get beat up by this one bully in this classroom. And he went on to, after high school, he graduated to the penitentiary because he went in for murder. He had everything in his life set up to become a life criminal. And fortunately for me, I had an older sister who wasn't afraid to throw a fist. She beat the crap out of him if he came near me any time, and he did. But he was sorry whenever he did. So I was really lucky, or blessed. I like to think of it today. By the way, that was a long, long, long time ago because we're set up to be able to great grandkids today. But we get the benefit of blessing kids of today. You know how we love children because of our relationship with the Lord, and he blesses us to bring them in our life and allows us to have the privilege of serving with different families of people we know. By the way, my name is Brian Clayton, George. Nice to meet you. I'm the president of the Hope Collection.
Charm, sir. Wrong. I knew exactly who you were when I heard your voice.
Let me explain to y'all what just happened. Stand up and speak out. You don't have to scream. You don't have to shout. Mary alerted me. Country, there's a lady on my street that's bullying her kids, is bullying my kids. I said, oh, no, we're not having that, Mary. I called and said, Georgette, guess what? Mary's kids got bullied. She said, oh, no, Country, we're not having that. And Ron Clayton just over here, he said, oh, no, you mess with Mary's kids, you mess with me. This is what we're talking about, y'all. We've been standing idly by watching our children, not your children, our children, get bullied. Here's the last little cliff note for you. Dr. King, I quote one of my mentors who wasn't just standing idly by. He said, Country Boy, I've been around the world more than once, and I've probably been going again, but I've seen all different types of cults, all different types of evil. My question is one of them so-called Christian people going to start to stand up and combat evil? Evil versus good. It will never stop. It will never stop. It will never stop. But we would have been wondering why you can drive by the guys on the corner that's doing something that they wouldn't be doing, and you look the other way like nothing's going on. We're going to stop this bullying from our children going on, and it starts today. Stop right there, Mary.
And that's so true. Go ahead,
Mary. I'm growing through that right now when it comes to, thank you so much, and cucumbers. when it comes to me, when it comes to me, Gage has been getting bullied at school, and he wanted me to come fight a kid, but I let him know, you know, mommy doesn't fight kids. But what mommy does do is she'll seek their parents. First time we have a conversation, we try to talk about it. We introduce play therapy, maybe some yoga classes. That second time, I'm going to try to come find you about my kid because I'm tired of your kid bullying my kid, so now I'm going to bully you. Anybody who knows me knows that I am the tallest woman in the world, okay? My spirit is 7'2". I stand about 5'2", 127 pounds. But when it comes to gays, I will beat up a bear, a gorilla, and a tiger all at the same time. So if y'all see me fighting those three, you just better help them. Because what people need to understand when it comes to their children, people are sensitive and vulnerable when it comes to their children. When their children are being attacked and they can't get the direct help that they need, they revert to the parents for help. Now, I'm going to get a little bit deep in this bullying because it comes from different standards. So I'll put a little mark right there. So as a child, we all need some type of assistance or help, and we look towards our caregivers to give us that. In the event that they cannot provide that, our innocence is robbed, our hope is lost, and then we have to look at life a whole nother way. So parents, it's imperative that you help your children maintain their innocence. This world will take it away from them soon enough. So providing security for your children and teaching them about bullying from both aspects is so important. Got a little story for you. Gage was being bullied by this kid at school, and I think I talked about it in another show. He fixed his mask because his mask was creaking, and the kid punched Gage, and he said, you know, I said, Gage, well, why didn't you hit him back? He goes, well, I don't want to hurt anybody, Mom. And I said, well, why don't want to hurt him? He said, well, Mom, he's not right. Now, this is coming from an autistic individual saying that a typical individual is not right in the head. He even told me his spirit wasn't right. So what that tells me is, again, children do as it's done to them. So we're not sure what is going on in that household to make this child react, or they're not being able to express their feelings, or maybe they have already been robbed of their innocence, and this is a result of them lashing out or trying to gain one up on a person that seems less threatening or vulnerable to them in that situation. So now we come back to the second part. Go ahead, Sunshine.
No, I don't want to interrupt your thought. Keep flowing. I can hold mine for a second.
Okay. So now that let's pick back up that point when I said they're robbed of their innocence. For me, personally, as a child, I was robbed of my innocence in a situation, and I went to my caregiver and asked for help. When asking for help, one must provide the right type of help. It can't be a don't worry about it, it'll go away, stand up for yourself, fight back. It can't be in that kind of dialect if you're not sure on how the child receives and retains information. So we really have to go out and demonstrate things that are happening. So I feel that more conversations need to be had around bullying in the household, because just like Ariana, she takes up for her brother. If anybody tries anything with his brother, she know I'm protect my brother. But guess what? He may seem like he may not be a protector, but the one time somebody think they got the balls to step to Ariana and do something for her, to her, he is going to go, the roles are going to be reversed, and he is going to go into his fight or flight mode, and he's going to hold his sister down. Because, again, he has been taught this behavior in the household. What children learn have been taught in the household. It has been a direct reflection of what the parents how the parent has been parenting, how the parent responds and reacts to drama or trauma, how the parent seeks solutions, and just how it can be resolved in general. Because I'm quite sure, Mary, the two, they may bicker amongst themselves, but sometimes Ariana just relinquish it and let it go because she already has the sense of I'm the big sister and this is my little brother, so I'm going to just let him be a little brother.
Mm-hmm.
He may not have developed that yet, but he will as soon as life houses an opportunity for those roles to be reversed.
Oh, no, he has a first sister all the time at home. Like, if mom starts getting on Ariana, he comes running to defend her.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
But he doesn't like to be outside around a lot of kids yet. He's still that little bit of antisocial, not sure how to interact with kids. So he's not running around with all the other kids like she is. She's the social bug. He's the wallflower.
Pause right there. 1 second, Mary.
Go ahead, Country.
We're going to have to clip this part of the conversation. What Georgette has just given Webster dictionaries a new term. There's a term that we utilize. We call it understand. Y'all hear that word? Understand. That means when you can comprehend, when you can digest it for yourself. That when you fly into the thing like Ron Clayton, our president, let me give you my adjective, our new president. I like that word, new. New president. Ron Clayton is not only understands, he's spiritually mature enough now to where he overstands. He understands it well enough to where he can explain it to you and your family and have it make sense to you. He's an overcomer. He's an overstander. And then Georgette wasn't even dropping it like it's hot, but she throwed a term that Webster Dictionary. She says Mary is in the point now to where she's understanding.
Yep.
I said, oh, my God. Oh, my God, you went through 2 minutes worth of explaining. Some people know what sympathy is. Some people know what empathy is, but nobody ever talks about apathy. Sympathy, empathy, apathy. There's one called understand, overstand, and Georgette says understand. So y'all put a little cliff note in the book right there, Georgette, Mary, because we're going to have this topic again. What does one do when they understand? When you just explain how a mom has to digest stuff and how the I can't do it the way you did it, but I didn't want people to miss what you just I was just for feeling that they wasn't picking up what you just put down because it was so smooth and it was so spiritual. It was so I'll stop right there, Mary. But make sure and remember that, Georgette. Understand, because it came out of your mouth.
See, how I figured out that it came from the mom over the kid is she's a little slow. Normally, kids will go after, because she's not obviously fat. She's chunky. So they normal kids will bully if they're bullying on their own account. Their own thoughts would be going after her for being slow or dumb or something like that. But they went after her weight. That's an adult mind. Knowing that this kid has self-esteem issues, because I host the radio show outside my front yard when it's nice weather outside and it's quiet. And me and the kids sit and talk and do school outside. So she can hear what's going on, and we have talks about her self-esteem issues. And a parent or an adult would understand to attack her where she's vulnerable with self-esteem as opposed to just going after her for a physical appearance or things where it would just make fun of her. And that's where, as a parent, it's your responsibility to teach your children to be nice. If you don't have anything to say, then don't say it. And this kid comes and says, well, my mommy don't like yours, and we're not allowed to play with people who play with you because my mom doesn't like your mom. Seriously, people? Your kids are going to turn around and regurgitate everything you say. Trust me, I know. And it's the same thing, you know, when Trump became president and how many families got divided, how many people got divorced because the one spouse, one person and didn't like the other. Families were torn apart because we don't accept what each other believes. So we have to believe what everybody else believes, do what everybody else does.
Yeah, and I have the audacity to run up to you, Georgette, run up to you, Ron Clayton, run up to you, Mary, and say, well, my father's better than yours. Our father, we're about our father's business. You're way over there in Minnesota. I've never seen you, never met you before. Love you to death. Georgette, right here in the city of Atlanta, had a head-on collision with her. Met Ron Clayton one time. He came down here for a travel convention. He hugged me and made me smell his armpits. He just hugged me, just leaned back all like that. But see, you guys, this is why we got to push the refresh, restart, renew, revitalize, rearrange, re-button so we can be in position to receive our reward, because we got to see that what's happening now is definitely not working. I have never called anybody stupid, and I wanted to put that one in or stand into Webster Dictionary, but I've never called anybody in my whole life stupid. I've seen a few people that I wanted to throw a label on them. But when you look up the definition of stupidity in Webster Dictionary, it says to do the same thing over and over and over again, and you see it's not working. But you continue to do it the same way anyway. And Georgette says, you're not going to bully Mary's kid with me standing idly by. That's the way all of us should feel now. We talking about the children are our future. Some of them can't speak up for themselves. They rely on us parents and us neighbors. And Georgette, you said it yesterday. Sometime it really does. It really does. Not sometime. Most of the time, it takes a village to raise up a child.
You know, that is so true in the whole. I miss those days. You know, your kids are running around town. Everybody knows who your kid is. You always know what's going on. You always have those eyes. You know, you walk down the street and you're saying hi because you know everybody. We live in
and listen,
such...
the way I...
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I said where I live, everybody, it's like tears around here. Everybody's going to know my name. Because if you know Gage, you know me. And if you know me, you know Gage. Because we are a dynamic duo. Everywhere, just like, well, Country, I think Country met Gage first before he met me or saw him outside in play.
Yep.
Is that,
he
yeah,
ran up
okay,
to
okay,
me
okay.
Fine and had a worm gentle for me, and then he didn't really say anything, but I found out about 3 weeks later that he has a spiritual scanner. He was watching me the whole time. Please believe me, if he has his eye on the sparrow, Please believe that the divine creator is watching to you too. People may not remember what you say to them, but they will remember how you treat them. So when I walked past Gage, he watched me, and I walked straight towards his mom. I grinned, and I gave her a hug, and she grinned and gave me a hug back. And you can see his go, well, okay. If he's okay with mom, he must be okay with me. But I believe he would have took whatever he had and came after me if I hadn't have done what I did. But you're right. Children are going to be a reflection of our light. And we know that if that child ran up on your child, with a light that was anything besides bright. It was kind of dim. It was probably came from the parent. And now, well, please understand me now. I'm not belittling parents. I said we. That means we in French, you guys. Georgette told me that one of her sign languages is she speaks French. So we, yes, yes, we
yes.
can.
Well,
if you can't do it, then we can do it together because it's a blessing to be a blessing. And if everybody could fix their own child, if everybody knew what to say to the teacher, if everybody already knew, then we wouldn't need each other. That's why it's a blessing to be a blessing. And it's here at the Hope Foundation. We have no hidden agendas. We have no hidden motives on what we do. We have every intention on blessing you in the areas of your life that you need most. Oh, I forgot to tell you why, country? Because we care. We care enough to share enough information. We're in the information stage. Information with you so that you'll know what you need to know in order to be able to grow. I was saying go through a situation, and Georgette's got me saying, I didn't go through it. I growed.
I dreamed.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Pay it forward, girlfriend.
Listen. I'm just grateful at all the things. And Mary, I want to tell you that I love that you popping, and you don't even know you popping because you got heavy on the haters. But I really more so want to give you your flowers today, right here, right now, being a parent of children with superpowers, and you just handle it with ease and grace. I know you have rough days, sis, but you make it look so beautiful. I know you get tired. I know you get frustrated. I know you want to scream and yell. And sometimes, if you like me, you cry in the shower or in your closet. But I want to tell you, you are fucking phenomenal, young lady. And I see you, and I appreciate you, and I value you, and I look up to you, and I thank you.
That's a two-way street there. You know,
amen.
We're going to change Wednesday's show. Wednesday's show, we're going to talk about parenting. The thing is the minute I open my mouth and say, I have two autistic kids, everybody else's response in the world is, oh, I'm sorry.
Right.
or the response is,
I'm laughing, Mary, but. God, you just think about what she just said for a second. Just push the pause button, Mary, and let that just marinate. Not one,
yeah,
two.
Like
I call it a double portion blessing. Wow.
Yeah.
They're sorry for you.
and I look at them, Mary, because I've had somebody say, I'm sorry, he's autistic. And I told them, I'm sorry, your kid regular. That's exactly what I told her. I'm sorry, your kid regular. That mind made life interesting. Because
wow.
You have engaged made life worth living.
Because the only time you ever hear about autistic kids is the things that they do wrong because parents don't know how to raise them. They don't know how to parent them. They use that diagnosis or that label as an excuse for behavior. And so you get these people that don't know how to just stop, accept who they are, slow down, and let them be kids and try to control every aspect of their lives. So they're acting out. So you see, you know, I was talking to Ron about this the other day, and he goes, yeah, you see all these parents with where he is with their kids on leashes, and they're like 8 years old because they can't control them. I go, yeah, I did that with my kid when he was three.
Mm-mm. Well, I think that we call it a crutch. If it was a crutch that they was leaning on, but when the form of a leash, people really won't see the true matter on what the position they're standing in. Oh, I think they're leaning on their own crutch. Forgive them, Father. Forgive them, Father. Forgive them, Father, because they know not what. We can't keep walking around here with a leash on our kids pleading like, I know we could do that. I didn't know that they had special classes online. I didn't know that if you could put the beets and the carrots and the kale in the juice and put some pineapple in there and make it taste sweet and put it in a popsicle that they would eat the kale then. I didn't know. Stop saying you don't know. If you know better, you're going to do better. That's why I'm saying if you don't know what to do, ask. Oh, I was reading in that little book, ask not, receive not. That's why we're calling every man. Oh, there's some daddies out there that don't know what to do with their kids, too, and they ain't showed up yet. The women always show up. We're looking for a few good men. We're looking for men. We're looking for every woman, every boy, every little girl. Shout out, Ariana, little princess girlfriend, little warrior princess. We're looking for everybody to show up. And love. Did y'all hear that word? We call it one nation.
Amen.
Under
Amen.
Love. We want everybody to show up
Amen.
And love their very best. Last one for you. I'm down
Amen.
Here in the dirty, dirty South. I forgot we came from the dirt. We going to go back to the dirt.
That's
so we're not afraid to do what we do because ain't nobody can do what you do, like you do, when you do, what you do. And we feel honored and privileged just to be able to do anything with you, and it allows us to do extraordinary things on ordinary days by passing love, hope, and kindness other people's way. And we want you to continue to practice, not just the kids now. We want you adult people to practice. Do unto others before, I said before, they do unto you, because when you give some love, some hope, and some kindness away, it'll eventually come right back to you, Joel Griffin calls it a cycle of appreciation. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's only thing that can blow.
We're going to start a new Facebook group. I used to belong to a bunch of different Facebook groups for autism, for special needs families. I had to leave them because I couldn't deal with the crap on there anymore. Parents are looking for anything that from the time they're born to the time they're old enough, they look for any reason to figure out if they're autistic or not. Instead of enjoying your child, they're looking for problems. Is this normal? Is this normal? Do I need to get them tested? It's messed up. Two, when your child is diagnosed, on most of these support groups, the first thing parents ask is, one, how to get your kids on disability. Your child is two. There is no way in hell you're going to know what they're going to turn out to be like in five, 10 years from now. So now you've just took your child who had the world to them, narrowed it down, because that's a permanent record that will always follow them. And that's going to limit what they're going to do, what they're going to be able to do. And three, the next question parents ask is, what medications do I need to put my kid on? First of all,
fruit and vegetables,
autism. There is no medication approved for autism. None.
Zero. There is no cure. Stop saying they're going to grow out of it. Whatever the hell that means.
That's not completely true. Breaking information out of Norway, they have developed programs so that if you test high on the scale, and I've built my programs based on a lot of their stuff. When you test higher in the scale, by the time, because autism is the only disorder that you have to be tested for on a regular basis.
Interesting.
You keep getting follow-up tests on them, and I have to do it every couple years to see how they have either progressed or gotten worse. But what they have discovered in Norway is if you slow things down, you work with them, you teach them their own way. They can test high at 3. By the time they're 12 to 16, they'll test low, if even on the scale at all. I will share that with you, Georgette.
Okay, you know, I'm open and receptive to all the things. I just know as Gage gets older, I teach him how to, I'm trying to find my words. I teach him how to conduct himself in stressful situations and how to get up out of them.
Correct.
And we, So if he's in a stressful situation where there's a whole lot of people and he's feeling all the things because of the neurodivergency and him being hypersensitive to energy, I've taught him breath work and going in a corner and being with yourself or just removing yourself, walk away. Like if all the crowd is walking towards one way, you walk the opposite way to safety and you breathe and you regroup and you gather yourself and then you come back, but only if you feel the need to come back. Like, you know, sometimes I put him in stressful situations for him to work his way out of, because what it boils down to is him having a massing, M-A-S-S-I-N-G,
mm-hmm.
or M-A-S-K-I-N-G, both of them, amassing and masking a way of to cope with day-to-day activities.
Correct. What you're doing is what's called emergency therapy.
Kind of. Never knew it had a name. I'm an emergency therapist. Look at me.
Yeah, it's called immersion therapy. What you're doing is you're taking them, putting emerging. Them slowly, integrating them, immersing them into the environment, and that's exactly what it is. The key to dealing with autism with kids, and this is where I built my programs on it, is you take all the little issues they're struggling with, the regulation techniques, the meltdowns, the speech, the mind and the racing, things like that. You teach them how to deal with those issues. You break everything down into tiny little bits. You deal with these little bits piece by piece by piece. It's not something that happens overnight. It takes a while. And when you start dealing with those issues piece by piece by piece, you eliminate the issues you're having. The more you... when you go back and reevaluate, as those issues are not a problem anymore, you become lower and lower on the scale. Because autism is one of the only disorders that it's a scale. A degree based on how severe it is. But learning and figuring out how they learn, how their brain operates, teaching them techniques for regulation, teaching them how to speak, teaching them how to deal with the world around them, how to regulate themselves, how to slow
emotions,
their mind down.
Why, too, for sure. Because sometimes Gage's emotions, he either overreacts or underreacts.
Correct.
So now I understand that Gage, that's what Gage does, right, Georgette?
Yeah,
so he's being himself.
Yeah. He is himself.
And the big reason why a lot of these therapies don't work, especially when it comes to, and the misconception is that autistic kids don't understand emotions. It's because most autistic kids do not work in hypotheticals. Their brains do not operate in hypotheticals. They operate in reality. And so when you're teaching them emotions, first of all, you teach them in real time. You teach them these emotions as they're happening so they understand what their body. And you're not just explaining, and we only explain facial expressions and things like that when you go through social skills therapy and all this other crap. You have to explain what their body's going through too. And you have to break it down into a dialogue. And turn it into a game, turn it into different alternatives for them to figure out how to regulate, teaching them how to come up with the ideas. You know, most parents sit there and they teach their kids based on direct orders. It's like going through a boot camp. The biggest thing, and I'm still retraining my husband on this one, and my mom on this one too. Do not tell them to calm down. When they're in a meltdown, they're frustrated, they're having a fit. If they knew how to calm down in that moment, they do it. So instead of saying, calm down, give them suggestions and cues on how to calm down. Take a breath. Hum. sing, do something, count. And keep walking them through the calm down process.
But Mary, until you two super moms came along, you remember I said it's hard for anybody to do what they have not been taught. And you know, years ago, they just came up with a name in order to label our children under something that they still don't quite understand. And then when a parent has frustration, the way that you relieve that frustration is through yelling. The parent that was hating against you, she wasn't mad at her daughter. She wasn't mad at her son hating against you. Here goes another one. Just because your kid is special and they did something, and Mary says, if you want to set the fire alarm off, yell and say, stop it. Didn't I tell you to stop it, Gage? Oh, Lord, here comes the avalanche. Whatever you put out there, you just yell negative energy at a high octave at your child, and what do you think is going to happen? They used to tell us in the country, even an old dog don't like to be yelled at, but you just screamed at your kid more than one time today. Parent abuse. And that's what we was talking about today, Mary. It comes from more than one angle. Yours came from down the street. Sometimes it's in the house you live in, but didn't nobody call you out? Didn't nobody tell you? Didn't nobody assist you? And Georgette, I would throw a curveball at you. You said sometimes when you're in the house, and we have men, I'm one of them people, that might have been in the house, that had an IQ of whoop, 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 but don't quite understand the autistic kids. What are we doing now to help the parents understand, and what are we doing to help the family members get involved with discipline in the household?
I would definitely have to say in the household there has to be conversations. And they have to be, like, reenactments. Like, hey, Gage, if you're in this situation, because that's how we have to do things. I break things down to Gage, like, in reenactment form. So when it happens, he's already went through the reenactment. Also, when it comes to parents and daddies operate on a different brain vortex than mommies do. And sometimes they're not all orthodox when it comes to their parenting style. But, again, communication across the board saying, hey, I know that as a man, these are the things you possess. I'm not fully equipped to house this information for him to grasp it and keep it. So I need you to step forward. And X, Y, and Z and execute this. Now, in your household, in a two-parent household, what this will create is a different sense of stability and support from each parent. What it also will create is a togetherness and a bond, because now I need you. People don't need anything because you have everything that you need, but it is a sense of validation when someone needs you to do something. So having that those things happen in the household and you putting them on the forefront, it still gives them the push to keep going, because I'm valued here, I'm loved here, and I am supported here. And now I can provide the service that's going to help my partner, and this is going to help our bond as well as the bond with the children. So daddies are so important. For my single moms, get out of your own way, get out of your head, and have a good relationship with the father of your children. Or single parent, single daddies, get out of your own way and get out of your head and have a good relationship with the mother of your children. Children need to see their parents problem solved. Be angry and talk through it. Be happy together. Cry. Children need to see emotions health in a healthy aspect from these two realms. That's how you create a well-rounded child, superpower or not. So once you get that relationship solid, everything else becomes to be easier. That's why you were
My last little cliff note there, Georgia, and I appreciate you again being a single parent, but being able to include the men, because they don't really have a whole lot of good stuff to say about us men. And by human nature and human instinct, men do not like being confronted and asked with situations which we don't have the answer for. That pride, ego thing kind of takes over and rules over. But at the same time, keeping that the children in mind, you use the word also, it value, it builds value in the relationship. I love the way you said there's certain things that a woman just can't do. There's certain things that a man has to do, and it has to become from a man. Not saying that half America has not been raised by single parent households, which is 90% of the time women. Last one, you guys. When it comes to what you're putting into your children, please, I said earlier in the show, please believe me, somebody's always watching, because you know if he has his eye on the sparrow that he's watching you. Please don't be one of those parents. If for some reason the relationship didn't work out so great and one spouse had to go the other direction, and you would be one of those curse speakers with your tongue and say, you got to grow up to be just like your daddy. It's not what you say now. It's how you say it. What meaning did you have behind what you just said? Did you say it in a nice, cool, calm, and collected way to where the child felt the energy that came off your voice and they would want to be like their daddy? Or did you put it in a negative connotation? And I'm going to stop right there. Train's coming by.
One last thing before we go. When it comes to punishing or disciplining your child, especially when it comes to autism and other special needs kids, the punishment has to fit their maturity level, not their age level. By that, and I struggle with this a lot because my son's 7. He's in first grade. But his IQ is at a third, fourth grade level. He's now doing multiplication. In division. I'm screwed in high school because I'm not going to be able to help him. But his emotional level is at a 3-4-year-old level right now. So when he does things and acts out, he's doing it because he's at that level. And so there's a lot of times he'll do something and we kind of get on him for it because age-wise is where he should be. He shouldn't be doing that because he knows better. But he doesn't because he's not at that emotional level yet. So remember where he's at emotionally, where his mind is in that mental area, and do it based on that, not on their age and what you think they should be doing. And accepting them for who they are, not who you want them to be. All kids, accept them for who they are, not what you want them to be.
Amen.
Tomorrow, I get the privilege of sitting and listening to our dope dealer, juice dealer herself, Georgette.
Can't wait, guys. Same bat time. But not same bat time. 10 a.m., same bat channel. We got more with autism and juice.
And join us today at noon. We have a phenomenal guest coming on, another segment of Hometown Heroes, Diane Byron, who is a Navy vet, born with heart conditions. Got that dealt with, joined the Navy, ended up having something happen in the Navy, ended up with another heart condition, ended up a 3-time survivor of cancer. And still managed to walk the rim of the Grand Canyon in one day.
Ooh, she's fancy.
Oh, yeah. She's got a phenomenal story, and her whole goal is to help people transition in life and how to make the best of the situation, figure out who you are and what your next steps in life are. So join us today at noon to hear her story, because it is a phenomenal one to listen to. We're out of time for today. See you back here at noon. Bye for now.
Peace, y'all.